Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Revelation chapter 17. And we'll just read one verse. That's verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. And as your prophet said, we have a successful meeting in just opening your word and reading it, because we know that your word is life, and your word is who you are, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So, Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you've given us this privilege to be able to read. And not only to read as with the eyes, but read with the eyes of our understanding, Father, knowing that you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself. That you have come down, Father, with a shout which has many specific things which you are doing. And we believe, Father, that part of that is that it is changing us, Lord, from image to image, and from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, from values to values, and of course from our values to your values, from our opinion to your opinion, and from our judgments to yours. So, Father, we ask you to give us the great gift, which Brother Brown said the greatest of them all is to get ourselves out of the way. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we know that throughout the Bible, the church is likened to a woman, and a bride if she's a righteous woman, and a harlot if she, or a whore if she is not. Therefore, the word that was translated into the English language as whore here, where it says, And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And that word whore actually comes from the Greek word porne, or porne. And it speaks of a woman who is in idolatry or committing illicit sexual behavior with someone who is not her husband. Now, throughout the Bible, God likens those who are in idolatry with being an adulterous woman. And we're told by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians that idolatry, adultery, and fornication are the works of the flesh. So this great whore is a type of the worldly church, and since she is branded the great whore, the mother of harlots, it speaks of the Catholic Church, and it speaks of her daughters, which are the Protestant churches which came out of her, yet held to her organizational mindset and to her doctrine. Notice the denominations that came out of her. The Protestants are actually all Trinitarian. That's her doctrine. In Ephesians 5:5, and of course we found Brother Branham said in what the paragraph we read on Sunday was, he said, she has to please her lovers, her false lovers, she has made her husband into, chopped her husband into three pieces. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, in Ephesians 5:5, the Apostle Paul says, For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor any unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So notice, he speaks of whoremongering, unclean, covetous, and idolater all in the same breath. So basically, when you have the scriptures speak of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, those kind of things, even covetousness, it speaks of idolatry. And he says, and none will have their inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Again, in Galatians 5:14, the Apostle Paul said, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And this I say, then, walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall fulfill the lust. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And now he tells us what the works of the flesh are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, which Brother Branham labels adultery, fornication as being unclean. Lasciviousness, which means, you know, an excessive desire to have. And idolatry. So notice all of these are basically lumped together. Idolatry and adultery are basically lumped together. It's the same sin. And witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. You're trying to be what you're not. You know, all the girls, you know, in the world, they have to take on the Hollywood fashions. They're trying to be what they're not. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Notice strife, being contentious, strife. Heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do so such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Notice just the conflict. One is a conflict. You know, one is a spirit or a nature that's just always in conflict. Always in conflict. The other is a nature of just kind of laid back. It says, look, whatever you're going to do, hear me out one time. Whatever you're going to do, this is what the Word says, that's it. The other one just, like a pile driver. That's not of God. Let it go. If you don't let it go, you're going to be let go. And I'm warning everyone here, I'm warning those on the tape. That is not the Spirit of God. You've got to die to self. I don't care if you think it's right. Show me one prophet that hammered the people. He didn't do it. Brother Branham, the one time he said, he told him one time that woman's going to die. They got up and they, you know, they did their whole Pentecostal thing and said, thus saith the Lord, she's not going to die. Billy Paul said, Dad, why didn't you correct him? He said, I already did. You got to tell him one time. Then it's up to them. You don't drive. It's not the Spirit of Christ. It's your spirit. And it's contentious. Okay. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay. Joy. Not negativity. Joy. Peace. Not bickering. Not fighting. Not fussing. Peace. Long suffering. Not you're trying to make them suffer long. It's you will suffer long for what you're putting up with because of what they're doing. All right. Gentleness. Not being a, what's the expression Brother Vail used to use? Brother Ram was a Sherman tank that acted like a butterfly. These guys are butterflies that act like Sherman tanks. Not a Sherman tank. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And my advice to every one of us here, because Brother Branham said the bride, she's going to lay in the presence of the Son. She's now beginning to understand. Six sermons before he went off the scene, he said she's now beginning to understand. She's getting a mental understanding of the message. But she has to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen, to mature. A mature disposition is not one that pound. A mature disposition says, look, this is the way it is. This is what God says. This is the way it is. I'm telling you once. I'm looking you right in the eye. I'm telling you what it is. Now, if you do other than that, it's on your hands. That's it. You see? And then Paul says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, we shall also walk in the Spirit. I would that everyone everywhere that believes this message, focus on verse 22 and 23 for your own life. Now, I'm not preaching going back to a Pentecostal, you know, holiness, pilgrim holiness type attitude. But what I'm saying is, this is really missing in the message. Really missing. Meekness, temperance. Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It's missing. Why? Because the people are arrogant. We got the message. We got it all. And they're arrogant. And it shows that they're in the flesh. Because if they're in the Spirit, they're not looking at self. Because the Holy Spirit, eternal life, is living for others. You're not focused on yourself. You're focused on others. How can I help this person that's in sin? How can I help this person that's fallen down? How can I help this person that's gone by the wayside? What can I do to get him out? yell and scream at him? You think that's going to help him any? I don't think so. Now back to Revelation 17 and verse 2. It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now the wine of her fornication is her doctrine. And she is said to have intoxicated the inhabitants of the earth with her doctrine. In fact, that is what Brother Brown tells us in the next paragraph in the spoken word is original seed, paragraph 71. He says, so she can't give word birth to her children, none of them. She is a harlot herself, the Bible said she was. She had a cup in her hand and was giving out her doctrine to the people, which was the abomination of the filthiness of her fornication. What is fornication? It is living unclean. And for her doctrine she's giving to the people is the filthiness of her fornication. And the kings of the earth and all was made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Exactly right. Look at them. Boy, they'd cut your throat in a minute for that. Not only Catholics, but Protestants. Now notice Brother Bram says she had in a cup in her hand and was giving out her doctrine to the people, which was the abomination of the filthiness of her fornication. What is fornication? It's living unclean. And for her doctrine, she's giving to the people is the filthiness of her fornication. Then why do not the brethren in this message understand that unless your doctrine is right, you can't have a right spirit, which is the Holy Spirit? Don't they know that your doctrine shows what seed that you are? Her doctrine is what she held in her cup, in her hands. And she, the Catholic Church, poured what was in her cup out unto the kings and peoples of the earth, and they have willingly drank from that wine, that cup, as though it was some stimulation, because remember, wine represents the stimulation of revelation. So they were stimulated by drinking with this whore, with this harlot, with this prostitute church. Because after all, wine represents the stimulation of revelation. She had in her hand a cup, which is called the wine of her fornication. And we know fornication is unclean living. And in this context, it is unclean doctrine. That is why in Revelation 16 and verse 13 we're told, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the devil himself. And out of the mouth of the beast, that's the power behind the Catholic Church, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, which is the Pope. And Brother Bram said those three spirits, like frogs, didn't say they're frogs. People get in their mind that those are frogs. Three spirits, like frogs, he said, because they're always looking backwards. Isn't that what the Catholic Church does? You know what a frog does? He's actually looking behind him all the time. And that's what the Catholic Church does. Look back. No, Brother Bram said, you miss him by looking back. And I saw three unclean spirits come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's the devil, out of the mouth of the beast, that's the power behind the Catholic Church, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, which is the Pope. Now the Pope claims on his throne the words Vicarius Filii Dei, which means in the stead of the Son of God. And the Latin numerals add up to 666. So the Pope's claim is that he has taken the place of the Son of God on earth, which is a blasphemous name. Now let's look at this doctrine, which is Trinitarianism. The Bible said, out of the mouth of the dragon, which we know is Satan, and it says so in Revelation 12 and 9, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And again in chapter 20 and verse 2 it says, and he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So it really does not take a prophet to tell you this, because it's very plain in the scripture. But for those who still want to be sure, Brother Branham said himself from the fourth seal, he said, and they worship the dragon, and who was the dragon? Satan, that's right, the red dragon, all right, which gave power unto the beast. And where did he get his power? See? And they worship the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast, who was able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great blasphemous things, names, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. There you are, see? And to blaspheme his name, give him a title, see? His tabernacle, which is the Holy Spirit's dwelling place, to make it a place in Rome, Vatican City. You can just go on down, and them that dwell in heaven blasphemed them by saying that they were intercessors, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and he did, and to overcome them. He did. He burned them to the stake, fed them to the lions, and killed them any way he could. And power was given of him over kindreds, tongues, and nations. It never did become that way in Rome until pagan Rome was converted into papal Rome, and the Catholic power spread the world. Made the universal Catholic Church, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book. Touch not mine oil and my wine. See, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man has an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. So there's no doubt in our minds that this woman is the Catholic Church, and she made the world drunken with her doctrine, which came from Satan. Which her main doctrine is Trinity, which is from hell, from the mouth of the great serpent, the devil himself. From harvest time, Brother Branham said, you know, Jesus said, it'll come to pass that they'll even kill you thinking that they're doing God a service. Wait till this new book of mine comes out. They shot at some people the other night for saying that it was wrong to unite the Roman Catholic Church with the Protestant. Three shots went through a building of a friend of mine, just barely missed him. Wait till this book gets into circulation. Don't think that that they are sinning. They think that they're doing the right thing. They think that they're doing that for a cause for God, not knowing it. The Jews killed Jesus thinking they were doing the right thing because their church doctrine said he was wrong. You see, it always comes back to doctrine. Said for them, they crucified the very bread that they were supposed to live by. So you see, it's always been the doctrine that declares the differences between the seeds and separates between the two. In examining Psalm 1, verse 1 to 4, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And that word knoweth is the word yada, and it means he actively watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, and that word is nabad, or abad, A-W-B-A-D. Abad, it means they're just left to themselves. You see, if your kids are heading for danger, what do? You get actively involved. But if somebody else's kids are heading for danger, you let them go. I'm sorry to say that's the way the world is today, but that's the way it is. Unless they're a good friend of yours or a family member or something like that, you just don't get involved. Why? Because you touch them and you go to jail. You see? We're not here to correct the world. We're not here as reformers. Those days are past. You see? We're here as a family. And here we found that God likens man to a tree that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. But it also tells us that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now the scripture tells us that we must have the right fruit for the right season. In Matthew 7, verse 16 to 20, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes off of thorns or figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree will bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. You shall know them by their fruits. So the fruits of each man will be known. And therefore, if we are to know the man, we must know him by his fruits. So it's very indicative of us then we need to understand, what does it mean by you shall know them by their fruits? What's he talking about? Well, first of all, we know Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Therefore, as a man is, so shall he think. As Brother Branham used to have his kids, they'd be driving through the countryside. They turn on the radio. He'd give each child, he'd say, okay, now, You're listening to a preacher. He said, okay, now I'm going to give you 5 minutes to listen to this man, and then you're going to tell me what denomination he is. Why? Because of the things he says. Look, they can't help but teach what's in their heart to teach. And if it's error, they're going to teach error. And if it's life, it's going to bring forth life. Why? Because that's the way God is. That's the way He made us. Every man is known by his fruits, by his teaching. You see? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Therefore, his fruits will show what he is. Whether he's an apple, a pear, an orange, a banana, or a mango tree. Whatever the fruit is that's hanging off that tree declares what that tree is. You don't get mangoes growing from an orange tree. You see? When Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they thought that he was speaking of bread. But he was not speaking of bread, he was speaking of doctrine. In Matthew 16 and verse 5, he said, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You see? Therefore, we should be able to see from Scripture that a man's doctrine will declare what is in that man's heart. From the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Branham said, when referring to Matthew 7, what is the fruit? He said, it's the teaching of the season. From paragraph 42, he says, notice, but it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes off of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. What is the fruit? The word for the fruit for the season. That's what it is. Their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is, man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, or God's word for the season. Isn't it interesting that in this hour, this age, we are finding that homosexual spirit that's out there is predominant in the denominational churches, especially the Catholic Church, where the priests are pedophiles and having a homosexual relationship with the little boys. Now that's a fruit, and that ought to tell you what they're teaching. That it's a homosexual devil worship word. It's not God's word. It's their word. It's man's word. So we see then that the season is all important as to what fruit is to be manifest. And since the fruit is the teaching of the season, then the teaching will identify the season as well as the seed of the tree. And remember, the scripture teaches that we are likened to trees, as we saw in Psalm 1. Right? So we see that the season has characteristics which identify it. And these characteristics that we're looking at here is the fruit or teaching that are being presented to the people by their church. And since we're looking at the harlot's doctrine, which is represented by the wine glass full of idolatry, we can see the identification of that church as a prostitute to the nations. And notice, it's an idolatry being preached. It's producing adultery and fornication and uncleanness. And that church is just rampant with it. And the people sit in those churches anyway? Well, you have to understand men are men. Ha ha ha. No, I think they ought to take them out, every one of them, and hang them. Literally, hang them. And if the people would do that and clean up their churches and get rid of most of the preachers, you'd have different churches. Different. But you know what the Bible says? As is the priest, so are the people. Or as is the people, so are the priests. Like priests, like people. They love to have it so. Well, that's why they sit in those churches. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I like that. He that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Now notice, first, this headstone was the cornerstone that was rejected in the Alpha ministry. And I'm going to show you how that is, because, see, actually, the capstone and the cornerstone are not the same thing. On a building, you don't have a capstone and a cornerstone. But this cornerstone became the head of the corner. It says, it didn't say it became the capstone. It became the head of the corner. The capstone is the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said that. But the cornerstone was rejected. Now, Jesus was rejected. He was the cornerstone. But listen, Jesus was rejected when? After God entered into him. So the same capstone, which is God himself, that's rejected in this hour, is the same one that was rejected. It wasn't when Samuel came to God, he said, listen, Samuel, he said, they haven't rejected you, they rejected me. They rejected me. They want a king instead of me. Right? Isn't that what he said? Well, then who do they reject? The Son of God? Or did they reject the Father who was indwelling the Son? You see? Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, I'd like to ask the question, how many in this message believe in this chief cornerstone? They try to make him his own father. Now notice, first this headstone was the cornerstone that was rejected in the Alpha ministry. And also those who are electing believers will not be confounded, they won't be confused. And that is because they will understand. And if they will understand the message, and he said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here, then they will have to understand the Godhead, and they will have to understand vindication. Therefore, they will know who it is that has come down. Now, during Jesus' Alpha ministry on earth, there were two things that caused more controversy among the denominations of his day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, than anything else. We also found during Brother Branham's own ministry, the same two doctrinal points were contested more among the denominations of Pentecostal churches than any of their points that he preached in his ministry. In John chapter 10, verse 32-33, we read, then came the Jews round about him, and they said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus plainly answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now, what did he just say? He said, I've got a Father. My Father is God. I'm doing the works that he told me to do. Those works are bearing witness of who I am. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good things have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered and said unto him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answering them, he said, it is not written in your law that I said you are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into this world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. They didn't like it when he talked to them about the Godhead, about his relationship with the Father. We find here the most religious people, the Pharisees, were ready to stone him because of what he was expressing to them doctrinally, and that is his understanding of the Godhead, teaching the doctrine of Christ, as John taught it, also in 2 John, verse 9 and 10. But he also taught us that his doctrine was not his, but his Father's that sent him. That's John 7:16. Notice John 7, let's go back to 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answering them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? And the people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who's going about to kill thee? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of your fathers. and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know that this man, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? See, some people saw the vindication. They said he's got to be, just based on the vindication. And that was Jesus. Jesus was trying to get him to that. He said, look, this is the relationship between me and my Father, and the works that I do, I'm just doing what he tells me to do. The Father worketh, that's the vision, and the Son worketh hitherto. He steps into the vision. He performs what God's doing. They couldn't catch it. They didn't have a clue. And he was trying so painstakingly to show them, and they rejected that relationship. And so we see Jesus talking to them as we read. He says, I and my Father are one. You see, Jesus kept going back to vindication. He pointed to the vindication, they didn't get it. They could not tie together the vindication of God's presence with signs and wonders with the word that Jesus was speaking to them. You see, he was bringing out the relationship between the Father and Son, and God was vindicating him, and the works were showing, listen to this man. Shut up, just listen. Be still, and know. But they had to have their own way. And so we see Jesus talking to them, as we read, I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And he answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. In other words, look at the vindication. You think I can do this on myself? If God were not with me, would this be possible? In other words, you know that these wonderful miracles that you have been witnessing to are beyond what a man could do. You know that they have to come from God alone, and no other person could do that. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Based on vindication of which of the points that I've been vindicated by God do you want to stone me for? And the Jews answering said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou a man makest thyself God. In other words, for your doctrine. It's for your doctrine. For the doctrine of Christ. That's what it was all about. So we see that the people do not change, and neither does God. And if the people rejected the alpha ministry of Jesus Christ over Godhead and vindication, then they will have to do so in the omega ministry as well, in order to crucify to themselves the Lord afresh and put him to an open and public shame and disgrace. Now, Brother Branham taught vindication as God having a one-man message, and he deals only with one man. This caused much of the clergy to alienate Brother Branham, which was due mostly to professional jealousy. Let's face it, they couldn't take the fact that God deals with one man in an age. Doesn't mean that he doesn't use other men, but those other men don't have a word of their own. They better be saying what that man said. You see? So we see that these children, in fact, when I was mentioning to Brother Billy Paul, we were talking the other day, and I said, Brother Billy, I said, what I do is I take Brother Branham's sermons, I take them just one thought at a time, and I'll run it from Genesis to Revelation. And I said, because I don't have a thought, I said, look, I take what he said and bring it to the scripture to show the people that everything he said is thus saith the Lord. And he said, that's the way it should be done. That's the way it should be done. You see, we don't have a thought of our own. Brother Branham said, we say everything that's on the tapes, just say what's on the tapes. That's all we do. It's not like we got some great brain, that we're real big thinkers and stuff like that. Look, it's easiest just to say what he said and show it in the scripture. You know what? It takes the onus off your back. You're not held accountable. How can I be held accountable for what I preach if I'm only saying what he said and what the scripture said, backing up what he said? Then who's accountable? The prophet's accountable. Because he heard it directly from God. You see? So Brother Branham taught us vindication. He taught us presence. He taught us God having a one-man message and deals only with one man. And that caused all of his problems, basically. Because when he taught them the truth and the Godhead, they rejected it and said, "Who do you think you are?" They said to Moses, "Who do you think you are? You take too much on you." See the arrogance of men. The arrogance. When God is dealing with a man and they want to step in and say, "Well, we got just as much to say as he does," I don't think so. So we see that these children have one thing in common, a false anointing from the devil that brings deception. And how does it come? By vain words, useless words, words which mean nothing. Then if the two main doctrines that Jesus taught were relationship to his Father, who is God, and the presence of that God indwelling in him, which is vindication, then any other thoughts contrary to these would have to be considered vain and useless. But as we see here by the scriptures in 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Amen. I think we could all say amen to that. "But unto them which be disobedient, he has become something else." And we see what that something else is in verse 8. He's become a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So to you it's a blessing, to them it's a curse. Huh? Looking at the same thing. Moses looked out the same window Pharaoh did. Moses saw children of promise. Pharaoh saw a bunch of mud daubers. Moses saw children of promise. Balaam saw a bunch of rebellious children. Now these disobedient children are serpent seed, so they are not and cannot be the seed of God. In fact, as we read further in the next verse, we'll find out for sure. But notice that to the elect, this headstone ministry of his appearing is precious to us. It is considered the most valuable thing that we know. But to the other seed, it is considered a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And how many people, how many websites, the men that write those websites are so crass as to demean and try to put down William Branham, prophet of God, vindicated. Whenever I come across any of them, I say, "Who vindicated you?" It shuts them up right quick. Where'd you get your knowledge from? Some school of theology? Some reprobate institution? Listen, everything you know, you learned from somebody. You know that? "Well, I got it from a book." Didn't somebody write the book? "Well, I went to a school." Who taught in the school? Everything you know, you got from somebody. You did. So you better know who, by whom you're taught. That's what Paul said. Now, if we really get into this and look at the definition of the words offense, we'll find that it means something that causes resentment and anger, the act of attacking and assaulting. And that is why they say it's not so much their doctrine that we hate, it's their spirit. Oh, is it really? They have the wrong spirit, and that is why they could not buy into what Jesus had to say either. He came at them with a two-edged sword. Isn't that the word? In the word, a two-edged sword. And they didn't like it either. So it becomes a rock of offense and a stumbling stone to them which stumble at the word, because they are children of disobedience, as they were appointed to from before the foundations of the world. So what we're looking at here is twins again, both religious. Yet one is the seed of God and the other is the seed of the devil. And what we are finding is that the key to understanding this here is that only those who are in the election will not stumble at the word. But those who are not God's seed will stumble at the two major doctrines that came forth at every Exodus. God has come as a pillar of fire. Notice presence, pillar of fire being there. Now, I want you to read the next verse carefully, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation." And the word generation was translated from the Greek word genos, which we get the word gene from, which refers to lineage, seed, or offspring. And I want you to notice what the attributes of this gene seed are. He says, they are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, this word peculiar is not in the sense of the word which means strange, you know. You're not a strange lot. Peculiar, like the English word peculiar means. But it comes from the Greek word which actually means a purchased people. You're a holy nation, a purchased people. Or a people who have been bought with a price. which then means a redeemed people. So you are a holy nation and a redeemed people. Well, who redeemed you? The one who created you. The one who had you to begin with. See? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Now, if we show forth the praises of him, then we are to say the same thing he said. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So these are people who won't add to what he said. These are people who won't take away from what he said, but they will say exactly what he said. As Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And Brother Brown taught us that the word confess means to say the same thing, because actually it's made up of the Greek word homologio, and the word homo means the same, and the word logio means the word. So it means to confess him is to say the same thing he said about himself. Then you have got to understand what he said in order to repeat it, in order to echo it back. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, because I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish thinking. Now, how many times have we as parents heard one of the children try to repeat some song or some lyrics that they heard, but because they didn't have an understanding of really what it was, it comes out much different from what the original lyrics are. I remember driving down the road one time, and my family was singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And Sarah was about 3 years old, and she was singing, Swing Low, Cherry Oven. Swing low, sweet cherry oven, coming forth to carry me home. Because she didn't understand what was going on. She didn't understand the song. Same as we had another little boy, he's about 3 years old in the church, and the family was invited over for dinner, and so he wanted to sing a song he had learned. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. And so he begins singing. He says, the B-I-E-I-E, that's the word for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-E-I-E. Didn't know what he's saying. When I was a child, I thought as a child. That's why I spoke as a child. Well, I remember Lisa, Sister Lisa. And one time she was in church, and she was singing, the congregation was singing, and she started singing, Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And Sister Patty went, shh. And Sister Lisa said, but Mom, I'm only singing. You see, how many times have you heard your own children sing lyrics which were not the lyrics of the song? But because that's what their mind thought, that's what it was. When I was a child, I spake as a child because I thought as a child. But when I become an adult, I put away childish thinking. So you see, without an understanding, many of the things that we think about just do not come out right. We must have a mature mind to think mature thoughts. And God has come down to give us his mind in this hour. And we must have a spiritually mature mind in order to receive God's thoughts. And that is the trouble we have in the message today. Men are still living by the glare of another day. And they have not come to the place where they have let go and let God, or they just let go of their own thoughts. Look, you do not have the capacity to hold on to your thoughts and also receive the thoughts of God. You can't do it. And so when Brother Branham made the statement saying, which the woman has took from the man, a part of the man, every in genes of the man is in the woman. That's what makes the woman, and that's the way that the Word of God is in the church. That's what makes the church the bride. We find men who are not ordained to handle this word, taking these simple words and making them into some sort of contorted female attributes of God doctrine, or some female Holy Ghost doctrine. And it just goes to show that these men do not understand the doctrine of God, and therefore they do not understand the message, and they do not understand vindication. And yet, right amongst us in the message. Well, then what about if they're not in the message? Look, there's a billion Catholics out there. And they're worshiping three gods. Trinitarian unclean doctrine. And how many? 400, maybe 500 million additional Protestants? They believe in a three-god system, Trinitarian. It's all uncleanness. Now in 2 Timothy 3, verses 13 to 14, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, they deceive because they are deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that is the key. Knowing of whom you're taught, he tells us, and how many people actually know the person who's teaching them. You go to these mega churches, do they even know the man? That is why Brother Ram taught us in the Church Age book. He said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, he said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, they take there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word that he had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then to say what has been given them to say to the churches. Now, I know that there are some who claim to be ministers in this message, but they refuse the Church Age book as being from Brother Branham. But then Paul said, if they be ignorant, just let them be ignorant. Don't fuss with them. I cannot help if they want to pick and choose what they want to believe. But God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. But let me say this. Those same brethren do not believe the doctrine of Christ either, as taught by Jesus Christ himself, who was taught by his Father, because Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Who Paul and John and the apostles taught, the same doctrine, because Jesus taught them. And then the same God who taught his son taught William Branham, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He taught William Branham. William Branham taught Lee Vail. Lee Vail taught us. And we teach the people. And outside of that, well, show me any ministers out there who sat at the feet of Brother Branham and talked doctrine. I can show you people that hunted and fished. Where'd that get them? They're still in their oneness theology. But how many sat at the feet and were faithfully taught by a vindicated prophet? God taught it to Jesus. Jesus taught the disciples. The apostles taught it in the Bible. William Branham, vindicated by God, taught it. And if they do not understand it, Brother Branham said that if they have not even gotten to first base, if they don't understand the Godhead, and in fact you're not even in the game, if you're not on first base, and there's no way of going home. So to me, that means there's no way to go home. Rapture. How are you going to be raptured if you're not even in the game? How are you going to be raptured? How are you going to hear the voice if you're not even in the shout? And I think we have plenty of evidence throughout the websites around the world that there's a lot of people who heard of Brother Branham. A lot of people use his material. A little bit here, a little bit there. But how many of them will subject themselves to say exactly what he said and bring it back to the scripture as he said it? Well, we're talking about, of course, Brother Bram said, the harlot with the wine of her fornication, she seduced the nations. It's the same spirit out there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we know, Father, that the doctrine we have, of course, is not accepted by the Catholic Church, because it was given by a prophet and it was rejected by all the denominations. We're thankful for that prophet. We're thankful that you, Father, gave him the doctrine. And we know that it's the same true doctrine that John spoke of. He that hath the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And Paul taught it. John taught it. Peter taught it. James taught it. They all taught it. So, Father, we thank you that you have given us the doctrine of Christ, as spoken of by the apostles, by your Son, and by you yourself. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
God bless you all.
Thank you.